morning. God has given us to listen to His word, and we carry on with teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And what we are able to explain is that Paul is facing, you know, some concerns about people, some of the members of the church in Corinth who are questioning his authority and wondering, this guy, he is so bold in his letters. He is so strong. You know, when he writes in his letters, he's so strong and so bold. But then when he comes before us, he's so weak. You know, he's trembling, he's bubbling, and they're wondering that his bodily presence amounts to nothing, yet he is so bold in his letters. So now when we start to look at 10, 11, 12, and 13, Paul starts to address these issues of his authority as an apostle, of who God has made him to be, and it appears even in some instances he's like he's boasting, but it's because they have made him to be a fool, and he's trying to just show them that, look here, if you want us to go into credentials, if you want us to go into details of what God has done in our lives or what who God is, then I can show you that there is an authority that God has given me. And one of the things that he says clearly is that though we walk according to the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. And because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God, to the demolishing of, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity and to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled or is completed. So Paul was trying to tell them that, look, you're looking at me and you're thinking it's after the flesh. I've already told you that we don't wage war after the flesh. It is not a carnal warfare. It is not the height of someone. It is not his looks. It is not, you know, his how he speaks or the kind of voice that the person has that determines how strong they are with God. But he says there are weapons that we have that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That means that when this person that is depending on God, when he has been given the authority by God, he has weapons. He talks about weapons of righteousness on the right and on the left hand side. That means there are things that God gives us to fight against the forces of darkness, to pray for people and they are healed, you know, to cast out devils, to raise the dead. There are weapons that God has given us, not only at a spiritual level, but also to fight with, you know, forces of thoughts of people. Because at the end of the day, some of the greatest warfares happen in the mind, where someone is not convinced about what God has said about them. The enemy wants to, you know, to confuse their brains, to make them feel that they are running mad, and give them thoughts that God is away from them because of such and such a reason. And this warfare, especially when someone has allowed all these negative thoughts to pile over them, over time it develops a stronghold, and a stronghold is more of like a defense system or a hiding place. And you can find the people who have accepted failure, have accepted defeat, have accepted that, oh, it's because of the color of my skin, and because of that I cannot move forward. And these strongholds that are formed by negativity or by evil thoughts, at the end of the day they need the word of God to break it. And that's why Paul says the weapons that we have are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, you know, for breaking down, casting down arguments. Arguments is where there are already well-formulated answers by the society that contradict the word of God. So these are arguments that are set. These are things that the enemy has raised against you, that clear-cut cases against you. But you see, the word of God is able to cast down arguments, and then every high thing. This is where it's now beyond just an argument. It's now an ideology. It's now a culture. It's now a system. You can imagine, think of systems like communism, where it's complete totalitarian and systems where they control and, you know, they influence nations and things like that. But the Word of God has the ability to even break down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I love how he puts it, bringing every thought into captivity. That means that we can take every negative thought, everything that is against the Christ, and bring it into captivity. And God says he is ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is complete. And you see, one of the things that you have to know, that at times people ask, but you know, I prayed in the name of Jesus, this did not happen. I tried to cast out this devil, this did not happen. And at times we forget that there are things that God has spoken that happen when we have completed our obedience. That means that there are things that God looks and he sees that, well, we are not yet ready. There are places that we are still not yet obedient. But there is a moment where, when your obedience is complete, God says he himself is ready to punish all disobedience. You can think of Jesus. When Jesus says that the thief prince of this world cometh and he finds nothing on me. So one of the biggest areas that Christians struggle with is actually a complete obedience. Yes, they obey in one thing, but they're not obedient in another. Yes, they come for, you know, one service, but they don't come for another. Yes, they follow certain instructions, but then also others, they don't follow. So in a way, when that whole measure is weighed, you know, it's found that their obedience is not complete. And one of the things with God is that he always wanted complete obedience. God desires that each and every area of our life is submitted to him. And when God, we say, the Lord is my shepherd, and we are calling him Lord, then that means we are under his authority, under his guidance. And then moving forward, looking at Paul's authority, verse 7, he says, do you look at the things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. So you see, Paul starts to tell them, look here, if it's about authority, I can go into the authority that Christ has given us. And the authority that Christ has given us is not for tearing you down. The authority that God has given us is for your edification. It is for your building up. So it's not to destroy you. And that is a place where God has placed the heart of leaders, that they see people and they want to build them. The heart of God in leaders makes that desire to build people and not to tear them down. In as much as God has given us all these weapons that are not carnal, but they are mighty in God, the purposes of these weapons are actually to build the church. And whenever Paul is saying the authority that God has given him is not to destroy the church. In fact, he does not desire that he puts them, he cuts them to measure, you know, he shouts at them that they know that he is the apostle. No, his greatest desire is that these people are built first. They're built up. Remember, he says it's like God has made the apostles the laughing stock, that, you know, each and every day they are facing fears, they are facing death. But you, as the churches, you're growing, you're increasing in wealth, that they have the capacity to bless others, and others are increasing, but they, on their side, they are suffering. So, and he's trying to tell them, look here, if you guys are thinking that because when I am with you, I am not, you know, speaking loudly or, you know, bold in my presence, and I'm only bold when I'm away with you with the letters. Just know that even when we come, I can and I will be bold with you, because, you know, there are all these issues. The super apostles are there. Some were following Apollos, some Cephas, some Paul, some Jesus. There were divisions in the church. He had warned them in the first letter that they need, you know, to obey, and a number of them really obeyed. They confessed, they put out the brother who was committing adultery, but then there were still those among the church who were scoffing at his leadership, scoffing at Paul, and trying to question the authority of Paul. So he's already now trying to tell them, look here, if it's about boldness, we will come and we will be bold before you. And there are moments where God allows the leaders to also be bold, but you see, in that moment, it is for a purpose of building, because when things are going wrong, then as leaders, you have a responsibility to call people in order. You know, church is not just about, you know, making people feel good, not correcting them about their sins. But you see, church also has the responsibility of correcting, rebuking, reproof, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and lacking nothing. So there is a correction, there is a sound doctrine, and that's what the Bible says, in the last days, men will not be able to endure sound doctrine, because they will gather for themselves a great number of teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. So when you think about itching ears, it's people who just want to be comforted, they want to be affirmed, but they really don't want to be told to live out, to stop the life of sin and to start living according to the truth of the gospel. Verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. That means he's saying that it's foolishness if you start to compare men of God after other men of God, or these apostles or these leaders who are saying, oh, I'm better than this leader, oh, I'm better than this person. And he's saying them that anyone that does this is not wise. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. So Paul is giving, you know, whenever we speak of authority, there are two words that are used in Greek for authority. One is exousia, which is the word that is used here, and then the other is epitage. Epitage is more of a decree, you know, like a commandment that God has given, like when he says that I speak this not by commandment, but I don't speak this as a decree, but I speak it as, you know, as a judgment that God has given him, or based on his assessment. So there is a decree, which is epitage, which is a form of authority that God gives and is a commandment that we are to follow. So whenever they are leaders, they can give authority, they can give decrees and rulings by which you do things. But you see, there is exousia, which is necessarily, it is a license or a permission that God has given someone to exercise authority over something. So you can see, like, for example, if you are made the, you know, a manager of a program, or you are a leader of a church, you're given a license either by the organization or by God to be able to do everything that pertains to that team that you're leading. So there is an exousia, there is an authority that you are given to exercise. But even the authority that you're given, there are limits to which you can use it. That means just because you're the boss does not mean that now you're going to be walking on people's back, you're going to be asking people to carry you on their back in the office, or, you know, do this and do this, and misusing the authority. And unfortunately, this is what many people who have been placed in authority end up doing. But God is saying, and through Paul is saying that even though that we can boast, even though that you want us to boast because you're making me boast in this situation, I will not go beyond the sphere of influence, beyond the limits that God has appointed us. So each and every one of us must constantly be cognizant of the things that God has given us, because nothing that we have did not come from, came from ourselves. Everything that we have comes from God. Every gift in its uniqueness comes from God, and we have a responsibility by faith, you know, to work within our sphere of influence. So let us always know what are the limits of the authority that God has given us and not exercise ourselves beyond that. Because anytime you find someone going beyond the authority that God has given them, that is when they get burnt, that is when they land into trouble, because they are not under the God-given authority. And authority by God is given at different levels, at the level of the nation, at the level of the church, at the level of the family, and, you know, at the level of certain groups. Each and every place, there is authority. There is law and order. Even in hell, there is authority. They have their different ranks, and they follow them. And that is how they are able to be effective. So we too, as believers, we must know that God has given us leaders, and our job is to follow them, because so that their job will not be a pain. Why? Because when they are discouraged, when they are in pain, that those God has placed under their care are not, you know, submitting to their authority, their work becomes a burden. And yet God has given them that responsibility to watch over the souls of the congregants. Yet those sheep that are supposed to be under their watch, some, and rather many of them, are not willing to submit to that authority. But God, Paul is trying to show that, yes, even though we have authority, we do not extend ourselves beyond our authority. Verse 14, he says, "For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall also be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, or he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." So one of the things that Paul is trying to say, at least if I am to boast, I can boast that in my work. I can boast that, you know, I raised you as a church, as a Corinthian church. I raised you, and because you people are able to grow, then God in turn also expands our area of influence. And they are also supported to be able to reach out to other areas. And one of the strategies that Paul always had is that he always desired to plant where no one else has done. You know, he always wanted to break that fallow ground, to go and reach out to unreached people and unreached person groups. And that way he can boast not in another man's labor. Remember, there was this aspect of one plants and another waters, but it is God that gives the increase. But he's trying to show these guys, if you guys are speaking about human boasting, then you can clearly see that you are under my sphere of influence. And also beyond that, I've always desired to go and preach in new places so that no one can boast of that, but then the glory goes back to God. And that's why he says, if anyone is going to glory about anything, if anyone is going to boast about anything, let us, you know, do it in the name of the Lord. Let us glory in the Lord. Let our boasting be what God has done, because we've not done anything according to our power. Nothing that we have or we do not have is from us. And he says, I love how he concludes and says, if anyone, you know, For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. And that is one of the biggest questions that everyone must ask himself. Yes, here on earth, men will clap for you. But in heaven, who is clapping for you? Does heaven know you? And this reminds me of a story that I listened to from one of the preachers. And he was saying there was this minister of the gospel, I've forgotten the exact name, but it's something like maybe like Charles Finney or something like that. And he was taken in a vision to heaven. And when he went there, and there were awards, there was an award being presented for this ministry, for the Charles Finney ministry or something like that, if that was his exact name. And then he thought that he was the one going to receive that prize, because he was the one that was preaching everywhere. He was the one that's traveling from nation to nation. But in that heavenly place, there was an old woman who went and received the award on behalf of for that ministry. And he started to ask, but God, I am the one who is, this is ministry is after my name. Why is it that I am not the one receiving this reward? Then he was told that, look here, the person that has made you do what you're doing and succeed is this woman who has constantly been praying for you. Each and every time you're preaching, she has prayed for you. She prays for you each and every day for the ministry, for the success, and the reward belongs to her. And for you, however, and then he said, but I'm the one who is known everywhere. He's told, yes, you are known in the earth, but in heaven we know this woman. And this is just the aspect where Paul is saying, it is not the one who commends himself that is approved, but whom the Lord commends. So the question goes to us, are we really known in heaven? Are we really known by our prayers? Are we really known by our sacrifices, by our intercession for the saints? Are we really known by our labors for the saints? By the things that we do in the background that even no one knows? Or is it only the outward show of ministry, the outward show of cars, and the things that we do on the outside that men can see that gives us commendation? The Word of God is telling us that it is better to be commended by the Lord. And Paul is trying to show them that, look here, don't look at things carnally. Look at things after the Spirit, and you'll be able to see and know that there are people that God has raised up for his glory, and they're doing the work of God, and they're growing, and they're establishing the kingdom of God. These are the people who God approves. So Paul really is trying to fight, or in a way trying to show these people that they should not focus on the outward man, but let them look at the heart. Let them look at what God is working in someone and the authorities that God has given them. So I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. And my brother, you are welcome as God leads you.
Just thinking of two things that we often do not recognize the anointment on the man of God.
Hmm.
We judge them by their physical appearance, we judge them by their physical being, you know.
Hmm.
We forget that it's a greater mantle that works in their lives.
Yeah.
So you find that in church sometimes, you know, I remember like the days when Finero just began, and people would say, oh, it's full of young girls because they're all going there to you know, seek for opportunities.
Mm.
Maybe you think some of them will be married off by the pastor because of that.
Mm.
But, you know, those are the minds, that the kind of minds that I think Paul was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, okay, he can only be bold from a distance. Mm. You know, he cannot be bold when he's around and all that. We are looking at the man of God in his physical nature, or how he is physically. But we are forgetting that the mantle that works and operates in the man of God is greater. And that is what the focus should be.
Mm.
You see, if we are to be blessed, and if we're to benefit from that anointing. But also, the blessed men of God also, humbleness and humility. I think Paul is talking about, you know, because again, knowing that you're blessed, you also need to be a little bit humble.
Yeah.
You don't step on the followers or the children of God in your church under your care.
Mm.
You know, sometimes when you're blessed and you feel like it is you alone that God is seeing in the church or in the congregation, there are people that God is also seeing. You may be the one given the responsibility to lead the flock, but among the congregation, God is seeing each and everyone, and is seeing everyone's contribution towards the church. And I think you just need to be humble enough to upload whoever God uplifts in the church or in your congregation to represent you or to represent His kingdom. So I think those are the two things I was thinking about as you're preaching.
Yeah.
And yes, with the message.
True. And even just beyond that, I think it even extends beyond leaders to also every believer. That even when you are working and, you know, when you're in the world, people can easily misjudge you. They can think that you have nothing, but yet they don't know what God has placed on you. And so you must always be reminded of who God has made you to be. And even when you face some challenges or even some people contending, always remember the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Because the anointing is for all. And that's what the Bible says. You have an anointing. You have received an anointing within you that teaches you all things. So always, at times, we can focus much on those God has placed, which is important, but also let us also not forget the same authority and the same spirit is also given to us, and in wisdom we learn how to exercise this judgment here. So thank you for those reflections, and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word, we thank you for your grace and power, for your wisdom, that indeed you give us direction, you give us wisdom, you give us ability to focus on what you have done and the authorities that you have placed ahead of us, and also you've given us, and you've allowed us to know that we need to be humble, to not look at the outward appearance of man, but to look at the heart, to see the things that you have placed in man, and that at the end of the day, what matters is the commendation from above. Are we known in heaven? Have you the one that commends us? Do we boast in ourselves? Or do we boast in what God has done? And I pray that you forgive our failures where we have seen things in a wrong way, where we have not respected authority, where our obedience has not been complete. But I pray that, Lord, indeed may we be complete in our obedience. May we be faithful to be guided, to be led by you, and to walk in wisdom and discernment, and not to live carnally, but also to live according to the Spirit. Remember our family members, watch over them, keep and sustain them. Thank you for our children. Be with them, our parents, and also those that walk with us, that, Lord, you give them the grace in everything. Even this day, we commit it to your able hands. We pray that you go ahead of us and keep and sustain us. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.